好，我们今天呢继续讲大圣大吉地藏十轮经啊。
Today we're going to continue with the Sutra of Ten Chakra of Chittagarbha Bodhisattva.
那这部经的结构就是 PowerPoint 上面秀的哈。那我们花了许多时间讲第一品跟第二品哈。那主要的第二品呢是最核心的教学架构哈，这部经的教学架构等于是佛陀跟地藏菩萨哈两个合作，然后把我们呢世俗间应该怎么样作为成功的一个领导者呢，还有就是我这个回音很大呢哈。还有就是说我们怎么样从凡夫一直到成佛的十轮要怎么转，这整个架构就是已经讲得非常清楚。那接下来呢就要实际操作，就是说十轮要怎么做很清楚，但是我们在实际修行的时候会遇到很多的问题。那从第三品开始到最后呢，都是佛陀在跟地藏王菩萨两个也是还有一些大菩萨他们在互动问题的过程中呢告诉我们修行之中会遇到的问题，然后我们要怎么样来克服这些困难。
So as you can see in the PowerPoint, the chapters provides an outline of the overall structure of the sutra. And previously, we have spent a lot of time focusing on the first and second chapter. Second chapter essentially is the core of the sutra. It provides all the pedagogical instruction, aspect of, in the sutra. It's essentially, a discussion between the Buddha and Chittagarbha Bodhisattvas, laying out the 10 different chakras from two different perspectives. One is the vernacular ways of how to become a great leader, and the second one is how does ordinary sentient beings, how do we actually proceed with our practice in order to attain Buddhahood? So that is the core teaching in Chapter 2, which is the heart of this entire sutra. And from this point on, we're going to move on to move beyond second chapter to the other three and fourth chapter. And these two chapters focus on the actual methods of practice. Exactly how do we proceed with cultivation? What do we do when we confront difficulties during our cultivation? So again, it's an interaction between the Buddha and Chittagarbha Bodhisattva as well as some great Bodhisattvas. Through their dialogues, they pinpoint some of the problems that people may encounter during their process of practicing and provide solutions for these problems.
好，那第三卷呢，第三品呢，讲无依行品，那第四讲有依行品，所以这两个就是无依有依。那无依的意思是说，当我们在修行的时候，如果做这些事情，我们就会像，这样浮萍一样无依无靠，在解脱成佛解脱的路上呢，做这些事情你就会像浮萍一样无依无靠。那第四品就是说，那我们要做怎么样的事情，至少有个依靠，就有一个着力点，这样子修行才有一个方向，才有一个力道。
So the third chapter is on dependable actions, and the fourth is on the various dependable actions. What they essentially mean is chapter 3 tells us these are the actions that you may commit that is going to make you feel rootless in your practice, that somehow you don't have anything to take root and to facilitate your practice. On the other hand, chapter 4 talks about the dependable action, which is giving you a method or an anchor point in your practice.
那第三卷，无依行品最主要的呢是在讲戒律法门。好，戒律法门它 本身哈，大家佛教徒一听到戒律哈，就非常的戒慎恐惧，不想要受戒，因为呢，这个受戒哈，知法犯法，然后什么罪加一等，然后就想说我呢，我不受戒嘛哈，反正做错事情又没有触及法律就没事嘛。那我一受戒的时候呢，做错事情我还得到庙里来忏悔，然后我还得好像会做错很多事情这样子。但是在这边这一卷的地藏菩萨告诉我们的戒律法门，告诉我们说，如果我们不持戒，所有的修行法门都变成是无依无靠的无依行品，都变成是无依行，对我们成佛解脱没有太大的帮助。
So the third chapter focuses on the undependable action, and essentially it's a practice of precepts that is taught by Chittagarbha Bodhisattva as well as the Buddha. And oftentimes among Buddhist community, when we talk about precepts, people become quite intimidated by it. People seem to carry on this notion that if you know about precepts and if you took the precept, took the vows, whenever you commit, violate one or break a precept, it seems that your transgression or your sins will be even more so than people who have not taken the precept. No precept, no problem. Once you've taken the precept, then it seems that there are more things that you need to uphold. And whenever you break one, then you have to go to the temple and make repentance, etc. But coming back to this sutra, what the Buddha is telling us that if we, in our process of practicing and trying to achieve Buddhahood, if we fail or if we refuse to take the precept, it would be whatever actions that we commit will actually become one of the undependable actions, that you don't really have an anchor for your practice.
所以你们看哈，在佛教的这个佛教的教学里面哈，不管是讲经律论，律是其中一个大项，经律论，那讲戒定慧，那戒又在第一个，所以不管你怎么分类，戒就在里面。那持戒在不管是出家在家的修行来讲，它都是一个基础，没有戒的基础，所有的善根跟善法没有办法升起。
So if you take a look at Buddhist teachings in general, there are some terminologies that we evoke a lot, such as the three types of texts, sutra, sastra, and sila, which is the sila will refer to the precepts. Or another term that we use is precept, samadhi, and wisdom. Again, precept is number one in this three terms combined. So again, this reminds us that precept is actually the foundation for all our practice. Without upholding precepts, any sort of wholesome or deeds that you actually engage in would be quite pointless.
好，那这卷一开始呢是大梵天，大梵天我们有讲过这个我们的这个四大洲上面不是有一个33天吗？33天的这个 king 叫做大梵天嘛，那当时也是他要求说佛陀说你不要涅槃，你赶快来跟我们说法的。那他就十轮讲完之后呢，那他又观察众生，对，十轮完了之后呢，他就问了一个，他就问了几个问题，是对我们非常重要的问题。第一个问题，他说，他看见有很多立根，很有智慧的修行，修定的人嘛，哇，这个精进修行，打坐很久，一点都不放逸，收摄身心，坐在那边，这样子。他们到底，那问题是说，他们到底是住在，就是说他们是住持在圣义地呢，还是他们还是在依止生死的流转？这个问题， 在我们禅宗里面就常常会 被提及，不管是你六祖坛经也好，或是任何一个经典，只要讲禅定的时候呢，都会指出这个问题。那我们最随便举一个公案，那磨砖成镜的那个公案大家都知道对不对，我们的马祖道一多么的精进啊，好，一天到晚打坐，那他的师父怀让就看他，好，这么精进的用功啊，哈，哇，毫不放逸哦，哈，睡觉睡很少，就在那边精进的打坐，然后他就问他说，哎，你这样坐禅在做什么啊？他说我要成佛啊。那怀让就拿一块砖在他面前就一直磨，一直磨，一直磨嘛，哈，然后他就受不了了，哈，就问怀让师父说，你在那边磨砖干嘛？他说我要磨一面镜子。然后他就说，你磨砖怎么可能磨成镜子嘛？那他的师父就反问他，那打坐岂能成佛呢？那这就是一个公案。
So this will take us directly to chapter 3. And chapter 3, first I'll start off with a series of questions posed by Mahabrahma. And Mahabrahma, as you can recall, when we first talked about the cosmetology of Buddhism, there are four great continents, and above that there are 33 heavens. And the leader, the king, the Deva king of these 33 heavens is Mahabrahma. And Mahabrahma was also the one who, when the Buddha first became the Buddha, he decided the teaching is too difficult. He's not going to dwell in this world to expound the teaching. And Mahabrahma is the one who besieged the Buddha to please stay and continue and teach us the way. So in here in chapter 3, Mahabrahma, after listening to the dialogue between the Buddha and Chitagava Bodhisattva on the 10 chakras, then he observed the audience and contemplated the roots or characteristics of sentient beings, and he posed a set of questions as a way to help us focus the teaching and clarify some of the confusions that people may still have. So the first question is this, as you can see on the PowerPoint, for those who cultivate samadhi with great roots of wisdom and intelligence, and if these people, there are some people who are very diligent, they're able to endure and not give in, not become lazy. For people like this, will they then be able to abide in the supreme truth in their practice? Or are they, is their practice kind of in vain and they are still following the cycle of birth and death? So that was the first question. And this question actually is often raised in any discussions of Chan in the Chan school. So whenever, such as in the sixth, the Platform Sutra by the sixth patriarch, Huinan, whenever people talk about samadhi, this question arises. And one of the very well-known case is the story between Ma Zu Dao Yi and his master, Huai Rang. In this story, and Ma Zu Dao Yi, the disciple, who is extremely diligent, and day and night he engages in very rigorous meditative practice. And his master, Huai Rang, one day came to him and asked, what are you doing? And Ma Zu Dao Yi said, I'm practicing, so to attain Buddhahood. And after a while, the master, Huai Rang, took out a brick, sat down in front of his disciple, and started sanding this brick. Sanding and making all these noise. After a while, Ma Zu Dao Yi, the disciple, couldn't stand it anymore. So he rose from his meditation and then asked his master, what are you doing? His master answered, oh, I'm trying to make a mirror out of this brick. And the disciple said, that would be impossible. You cannot make a mirror out of a brick, no matter how long you sand it. Then his master then replied, if that's the case, why do you think meditating, sitting meditation alone can make you become a Buddha?
Yeah. 那这个公案其实呢，我们这是耳熟能详，可是对于我们禅修者来讲呢，它是一个很好的提醒，我们要常常自我反省，包括我自己在内， 有时候以前年轻的时候常常可以莲香坐蛮久的哈，但是呢好像在日常生活中跟禅堂的落差蛮大的。好，那当时呢我以为是因为我在居士的时候每天要工作，因为生活的关系，那假设呢我出家住进庙里来了每天打坐，那功力会大增，那我开悟的速度就快一点了。那当然这是一个这个出家的因地有点好，有点太那个自我了一点，那我就觉得说我应该来出家，这样每天打坐。结果出家了以后呢真是有点这个期待落空，就是想说我以前只要付钱就可以参加禅期了嘛，现在是第一没钱，第二呢居然没时间也不能去打期，然后我就觉得说哇，我好像距离开悟越来越遥远了哈。那你就会把你开悟成佛的期望寄托在打坐上面。好，那这经过十年的磨练之后，我终于知道这是不对的哈。要在日常生活中哈，就要住圣义地，好，不是在腿功上面修定的哈。
So this story, this case study is very familiar to us Buddhists. It's a familiar story, but actually when you think about it, it serves as a very good reminder for us when we practice. When I was younger, I was able to sit consecutively for quite a few sessions. And with that ability, sometimes once I leave the retreat, I often find there seems to be some gap between what I'm able to obtain versus how I conduct myself in my daily life. And so the rationale I gave myself back then is, oh, that must be because every day my work is too busy, and that's why there's such a big gap between my practice in the Chan Hall versus my practice in daily life. So then the rationale furthers on saying, thinking that if I'm able to sit for a long period of time every day, then I would be able to obtain enlightenment so much quicker. So with that type of thinking, I decided to leave home and pursue the monastic life. And now thinking back, the rationale, the reason behind my becoming a nun is perhaps was a little bit self-centered. But once I left home, I realized that what I had envisioned previously was all kind of off track. Before I left home, I was able to just simply pay money and I would be able to go attend retreats and sit for as long as I like. But now, becoming a monastic, I have no money, I have no time, and it seems that I am getting further and further away from becoming enlightened. After a while, after 10 years, gradually I realized that it's wrong to equate enlightenment with sitting meditation, that they are not equivalent to each other. Instead of thinking that sitting meditation will help me abide in the true teaching, thus leading me to enlightenment, the thinking should be that day in and day out, with all my daily routines and activities, I should already be abiding and be contemplating the Supreme Truth, instead of relying only doing it during meditation.
那第二个问题哈，我们之前十论有讲嘛，哈，修定，第二个是习诵嘛，哈。那大梵天就问了，他说：“哇，这个有人哈，就是看到有人哈，这个每天哈日以继夜的习诵念经啊，持咒，哈，非常的精进。那他们到底是能够度烦恼海呢？这个烦恼海是不是烦恼越来越少了呢？还是呢退堕恶趣呢？”这问题也很重要，因为我也常常诵经。那这几个问题对我来讲都是很好的反省。那 最有名，也不是最有名的故事了。刚刚早上才去翻《六祖坛经》里面，马上国行法师要来讲《六祖坛经》了。那在《六祖坛经》里面有一个机缘品，就是到后面有 Q&A 的地方，有一个法达法师，有没有，就问这个六祖慧能，那他见了他的时候他不拜，六祖慧能就知道他一定 something， 然后就问他，然后就说，哦，我已经送法华经3000部了，法华经这么厚，他送了3000部了，所以他的内心产生了什么傲慢心。我告诉你，我们每个人都有，每次我们都做，我告诉你，我地藏经送了多少遍，有的人就说我会背了，有的法华经说他要一字一拜啦，要拜多少部，但他多多少少讲起来都有一点什么啊，就是我比你厉害，这样的一个心态。那在机缘品里面，慧能法师就跟他讲，你这样子呢是没有办法见到法华的真意。那在那个故事很精彩，六祖慧能从来没有听过法华经，因为他不识字嘛，他就说那你背来听给我听听，就他就一直背到方便品的时候，他说我知道了，你不要再背了，他就把法华经的经义告诉他，他说你呢没有，你读了3000遍都还不了解经义，的余意做仇家，那是在干嘛，送了那么多法华经，你渡烦恼海了吗？还是你产生傲慢心，然后羽翼做仇家，最后还是下堕呢？
The second question is also very relevant to me. The second question is, so there are some practitioners, if you found the PowerPoint as well, there are some practitioners who are immerse themselves in teachings day and night.And they're very diligent in studying and recitation. Well, in that case, will they be able to cross the seas of vexations, or are they going to continue and descend into the unwholesome realms? This question is relevant to many of us because a lot of us engage in recitation practice. And so while we engage in all these kind of practice, does it actually help us onto our path?And there's another famous story in the Platform Sutra, and Guoxing Fa Shi, Master Guoxing, is coming soon to expound on the sutra. But in the sutra toward the end, there's a chapter that focuses on the Q&A of between six patriarchs as well as his various disciples. And one of the story was, there was a monastic, Master Fa Da, who came to visit.And ask questions to Master Huinan, the sixth patriarch. But coming in front of the sixth patriarch, Master Fa Da did not bow to the master, did not bow to the patriarch, or did not show any respect. And so the sixth patriarch knew right away that there must be something, this guy is holding something in his mind. So soon, Fa Da then said to the sixth patriarch, saying that, do you know the Lotus Sutra?Well, the Lotus Sutra I have recited 3,000 times already. And saying that, there's a lot of arrogance, and that actually, I observed that among many of us as well, that some people say that, oh, I have recited the Earth Store Bodhisattva Sutra X number of times, or I'm able to... I have said that myself. Or that I'm able to memorize this sutra, that sutra,Oh, or some people, when they with every character in the Lotus Sutra, they make one prostration, and they have been engaging in this kind of practice for a long time. So people would talk about this, and kind of really the hidden intention is to show off. There's arrogance in it, to say that, hey, I'm better than you in my practice. So confronted with this question, challenged by Master Fa Da, the sixth patriarch then said,It doesn't matter with your attitude, no matter how many times you recite the Lotus Sutra, you are not going to see the meaning in the sutra. Now, the sixth patriarch has never read the Lotus Sutra. So he instructed Fa Da, why don't you memorize it and recite it to me, chapter word by word. And so Master Fa Da started his recitation through memory. And once he gets to the chapter on expedient means, six patriarchs said, okay, fine, you can stop now, and I will, I have heard enough, and I will be able to explain to you the essential meanings in the Lotus Sutra. So, this again shows us that when it comes to our practice, no matter how many times we recite, we need to constantly remind ourselves, is my practice actually leading me to crossing the sea of vexation, or it's actually creating further hindrance that it's going to make me descend into the unwholesome realms?
那第三个问题就跟我们每个人又更接近了。 他说：“哦，有的人修福有没有做义工、捐钱、修桥铺路、做慈善事业，非常的勇猛精进。那他我们在做这么多培福的事过程当中，到底是走向涅槃之路呢，还是在生死之中打转，或是更惨的是堕于恶趣呢？那这个。” 我们也不要觉得很难过了，因为呢，这个梁武帝有没有？他不是问了达摩祖师嘛？他是皇帝呢，他做那么多事，哇，盖庙啊，贡生布施设斋，哇，他以国王之身做这种大的这种公福培福，那不是我们这一般平民老百姓，这个scale比较小嘛，哈。 他做了那么多的善事之后，他问达摩祖师说：“我有没有功德？”同样的，信众会来问法师：“我这样功德？”那一样，我们也去问师父说：“你看到我都出家了，我把我全真都布施出来 ，full time 的 volunteer 全职义工，这样子有没有功德？”那达摩祖师回答什么？ 没有功德，然后听了就很，怎么会这样呢？
So the third question is even more relevant to us. It says, for those who are dedicated to cultivating blessings, will they be able to make progress toward nirvana, or are they going to continue to experience the cycles of birth and death, and even worse, descend into the unwholesome realms? And the reason why this question is so relevant to us is many of us are actively engaged in doing volunteering work. We make donations to temples or to great causes. We help to build bridges and roads, and we're committed to charitable work. But what does all these practices mean? Is it actually going to help us become enlightened and achieve nirvana? Or is it actually counterproductive? After hearing this question, don't become dispirited. Don't be sad, because after all, many people ask similar kind of question. And the most famous example is the Wu Emperor Wu of the Liang Dynasty. At that time, he was being an emperor. He was actively engaged in making great offerings to the monastic community, building temples, giving to the poor. The kind of charitable work that he was engaged in is huge scale, very different than the individual kind that we engage in. So even for someone like that, in his first encounter with Bodhidharma, he asked, so I have done all these great deeds. Do I have any merit? Well, not only did emperor ask the question, oftentimes volunteers or people, practitioners, will come to Fashi and ask similar kind of questions. That, oh, I volunteer X number of hours. Do I have any merit? Not only the volunteers, even monastics will go to Shifu and ask, well, I have become a monastic, so I've become a full-time volunteer. I've given all my full body and all my time. What kind of merit do I have? So what is the answer? So the Bodhidharma answer to the emperor, everything that you have done, you have received no merit whatsoever.
Yeah. 所以是生死还是涅槃?
So this comes down to the initial questions. Of all the charitable work that you engage in, is it going to lead you to nirvana? Or is it actually creating more, becoming more counterproductive and leading you downward? What is it? Which way will you go?
那第四个问题哈，就是为这些国王问的啦哈，就是说他们就刚像梁武帝这样子哈，他非常聪明哈，非常有智慧的一个好的皇帝呢，那他也按照第二卷讲的哈，他是成就这个帝王十轮啊，也来做。那他甚至哈，就是还为了救度众生，放弃王位哦，哈，这样的一个这么好的国王，那他是到底是会仍然在生死之中，还是他真的可以晋升佛果哈？那这个问题也很重要哈。从刚刚前面的哈修定。这个诵经哈，还有修福，跟你甚至一个成为一个大国王这样子哈，来按照第二卷哈这个佛陀的教诲来做的时候，问题是说这样子的做的时候，还是很多人是怎样在生死之中，然后很少人是去向涅槃的，那问题在哪里呢？
So the fourth question posed by Mahabrahma, he asked this question for the sake of the kings in the audience. So for someone as wise as Kshatriya king, the king that was mentioned in the second chapter, who has perfected all the kingly chakras, and he has done so much that not only did he nurture his people,For the sake of saving them, he even was willing to give up his throne. So for someone like that, would he still be drifting in the cycles of birth and death? Or will he actually be able to transcend and obtain the Buddhahood eventually? So this is a very important question. And continuing from the first, second, third, and fourth question, the first one is talking about engaging in samadhi practice diligently. The second one is engaging in recitation practice. The third one is engaging in actively cultivating blessings and charitable work. And the fourth is engaging in kingly conducts that benefit people in a very large scale. So for people to engage in all these various kind of practice, which all appear to be beneficial, but when it boils down to the most critical part is it going to lead these practitioners toward nirvana, toward Buddhahood? Or is that actually doesn't matter very much? It's going to contribute to their descending or still be stuck in the cycles of birth and death. So what is it? What would ensure them by conducting these activities to be able to get out of the cycles of birth and death.
那其实哈，归根究底哈的问题就在第五个问题哈。他说他大梵天发现呢哈，我们这些修行人呢哈，杂染心难服，然后就是内心很多的杂染，所以呢会被很多的烦恼哈所扰乱。也就是说呢，不管我们修定，好，不修还好哈，一修怎么样？烦恼越多，这个世界哈越来越看不顺眼，怎么会这么吵呢？好啊，怎么会这么乱呢？哈啊，你怎么这样？你怎么那样？你们都妨碍我修定的哈，你们全部都闭嘴 disappear， 不要。我都不要见到你们，看到你们就烦，好，这样我不妨碍我修定，对不对？奇怪了，你修定应该心比较清净的嘛，结果是看到这个世界越看越不顺眼，好，那你诵经一样的，哇，你诵持咒多少遍，好，什么之后呢？诵经多少遍之后，结果你发现边诵经会不会边打妄想，好，会不会诵经会生气，好。然后呢，培福就更不要讲了哈。本来在家里好好的，来庙里做义工之后呢，脾气更大，因为旁边人都没有配合，好，然后那个人 这个人，好，然后有你就没有我，好，然后，哦，哇，这个不修行还好，就不学佛还好，一学佛烦恼更多。的原因是什么？我们有杂染心，我们的所有的修行跟杂染心相应之后，我们就会被内心的烦恼所乱。只要被内心的烦恼所乱之后，我们就是生死业，不管我们做什么事情，就是生死业，跟成佛涅槃就是背道而驰的。所以这个问题很重要，是什么？以何净其心？要用什么样的清净心？要怎么样清净我们的心来修定、培福、跟诵、持诵？问这个问题。
So the fifth question is actually the locus of all the other questions together. It's asking, so what can we do to purify our mind? Because, when the mind is afflicted and it's often combobulated with vexations, discombobulated, and it's very difficult to calm and settle. So what can we do to purify our mind and to enable the cultivations of samadhi, merit, and Buddhist studies? So,It's point to the root, the heart of the problem. It's that no matter what we do, what kind of practice we engage in, our mind is often discombobulated. It has a lot of vexations and defilement. And they become disturbance in our practice, and becomes distraction. So let's go back to the first question, the practice samadhi. Oftentimes when your mind is so scattered and vexed,it would have been better if you don't even engage in the samadhi practice because everything was fine before you started meditating. And once you start meditating, sometimes people find that, oh, the environment is so noisy, people are creating so much chaos, that get away from me, you should all disappear in front of me. That happens when people, with the wrong mindset engage in the samadhi practice. With recitation,Same thing, people start claiming that I recite certain sutra for X number of times. That's all fine, but when you recite sutra, do you sometimes find yourself engaging in wandering thoughts and becoming more anger or having harboring resentment toward people? That happens. So your recitation is not doing much good. Similarly, with charitable work or volunteering work,sometimes once people start volunteering, their temper seems to become shorter and shorter. The rationale is, when I come to volunteer, the people around me should go according to my schedule or do as I wish, but they don't do that, so I become angry. Or sometimes people, when they interact with each other in the volunteering community, there's conflict, and people start thinking, resenting each other, thinking that, hey, if you come, then I'm not going to come. If I come, you better not come.So, that kind of situations arises. So it almost seems like if you don't practice, sometimes those problems don't surface. And the reason why, the practice is become fruitless or sometimes even counterproductive is that because we have a very defiled and vexed mind that is, hard to calm and subdue.And because of all these vexations, our practice is distracted. And, no matter what kind of practice you engage in, as long as your mind is scattered and vexed, then you are actually being counterproductive and you're going against the path. And that's why it comes down to this question, which is essential and very, very important. What can we do to purify our mind so that we are able to engage in cultivation of samadhi, merit,and Buddhist studies in a way that facilitates our practice toward the path.
所以接下来哈，这个章节哈，无一行品呢，这个品主要的是在回答这个问题哈，以何净其心？所以清净我们的杂染心，是修定哈、培福、习诵，甚至成佛。的基础，任何的修行要以清净心来修行，才可以跟涅槃是相应的，否则都是生死业。好，非常的重要。那这个以何净其心，就是在讲戒律。
So the remainder of this chapter is providing an answer to these five questions. And the most important one is, how do we purify our mind? Having a purified mind is the foundation for any kind of practice that we engage in. With a purified mind, no matter the practice that you engage in, it will correspond with nirvana, with Buddhahood. Otherwise, if the mind is still vexed and scattered and it's not pure, no matter the kind of practice that you engage in, it will be counterproductive. And you will continue, you're further creating more karma that leads you toward still being reborn into the cyclical cycle.
那在座我知道有很多是念佛的哈, 老菩萨们哈, 我们, 反正我们快要往生都要念佛嘛哈, 啊, 念佛生净土啊, 啊, 然后我们还有人会帮你助念, 对吧? 哦, 所以念佛也一样耶, 念佛也算习诵哈, 念佛一样要用清净心来念佛, 不然哈, 念到后来也是,
So I know that among this audience, there are a lot of people engaged in the practice of reciting Buddha's names. And this is especially popular among the more senior, seasoned practitioners. And after all, it's a very useful practice. And it sort of prepares you to make the transition into next life. And for even at the juncture of passing, then there will be other people coming to give you support with their recitation. But it's very important to keep in mind, even with this practice, reciting Buddha's name, which is considered one of the recitation practices, it's still very important to recite with a pure mind. It's the key. Otherwise, your recitation will continue to generate more karma for birth and death.
那这部经的最后，在最后结束前的那个章节，那就会介绍念佛法门。好。And
again, in this sutra, in the last chapter of this sutra, the Ten Chakra Sutra, it's going to then talk about the method of reciting the Buddha's name.
OK，好，那现在开始讲了哈。问题问完了之后呢？ 那佛就开始说话了，他说呢，这个我们就要念一遍就好。他说呢，过去、现在、未来的十方诸佛，为了成熟我们有情众生，为成熟我们的修行跟佛道，让我们呢，厌离生死的轮转，然后让我们断除烦恼的业，让我们在三圣的修持之中能够快速的圆满呢。 因为这样子，所以呢，都会告诉我们什么叫做无一行大寂别法。Now,
after the five questions have been asked, the Buddha started to explain and to teach the methods of purifying the mind. And the text goes, all Buddhas of three times, which is past, present, and future, and ten directions, for the purpose of helping sentient beings mature in their practice and wholesome conditions, and to help them renouncing birth and death, and to help them enable them to cut off vexations, and to facilitate the perfecting of the three vehicles quickly of the sentient beings. So all these, the Buddhas of the three times and ten directions have all expounded on this great differentiating teaching of the undependable actions.
好，那主要的哈是两大类，所谓的无一行大寂别法，就是说千万不要做的事情。好，那有两大类哈，第一大类呢有十种，叫做如果呢我们做这十种。 这种行为呢，那不要讲说修定、修禅定，连欲界的善根都有障碍。就是说假设我们想修这个人天福报都会有障碍。连你今天修桥铺路，做一点人天善法都会有障碍的。十种事情不能做。 好，更何况你，如果你以前前辈子修已经很有福报，这辈子在做这十件事，你会退失，那就更不要讲说色界无色界哈，三身修法没有一个可以成就的。
So then the Buddha started expounding on the teachings of undependable action, which is divided into two broad categories. And the first one contains 10 different kinds of undependable actions. And these 10 kinds of undependable actions is more related to, it's more basic, foundational. So the text goes,If any practitioners correspond with any of these 10 undependable actions, then she or he will not be able to even grow any wholesome roots in the desire realm. So we don't even have to talk about samadhi or whatnot or nirvana. Even if you're trying to aim for something within the desire realm, such as being reborn as human again, being reborn into the heavenly realm or whatnot,It's not even going to materialize as long as you violate one of these 10 undependable actions. Even if in the previous life you already have cultivated some good roots, once you engage in these 10 undependable actions, those good roots that you had previously cultivated will be lost. And that is solely talking about all the benefits to bewithin the desire realm. If you're aiming for things that's even higher, samadhi in the form realm, formless realm, or the three vehicles, you don't even have to talk about them as long as you are not able to refrain from these 10 undependable actions. 好，
第一个，好，假设你想要修定啊，好，然后没有资源，所谓的资源就是说你没地方住，你没地方睡，然后没有吃的，没有喝的，没有人来保护，就说你的身体不能受到保护，然后这样会发生什么事情？你就为了要找住的地方，要找吃的呢，你会精求扰乱。打个比方，假设我们今天是一位法师，他决定要去闭关，闭关会发生什么事？你要不要人家送三餐？好啊，你要不要有一个至少一间屋子关在里面？好，那屋子还不能漏水吧？好，对吧？好，然后各方面的东西你要具备，不是说很丰富，但是你一定要基础的要有。所以你要有，假设你要有要闭关，你要有闭关的福报，要有人跟你护关。好，假设你要修定一样的，好，居士也一样。你想要修定的时候，好，你不能说我放弃一切，那谁给你送三餐啊？好，谁给你房子住，对不对？那你没有，如果你培福不够，好，你不够广结善缘的时候呢，你这下好了，有一顿没一顿，你在打坐修定的，想说今天晚上不知道是谁给我送饭，诶，怎么没有人送饭？好，哦，然后你就开始脑筋就动了，两餐没送，三餐没送，外面到底发生什么事情，然后鞋子破了，衣服也破了，也没人送来，然后你就会一天到晚就想说怎么办，我要这个，我需要的东西都没有，这时候你还要修定吗？不用修定了哈，这个欲界三根都修不了的哈。有的人说我闭关三年六年，其实都在里面干嘛？煮饭，都在里面想我缺这个，我缺那个，所以呢，要修定的人，他一定要有足够的资粮，这个资粮来自于他累世修来的一个善缘。
So the first one of these 10 undependable action is.So let's say if someone wished to engage in the practice of samadhi but lack the supporting conditions such as proper housing, beddings, food, and safety, then it's going to actually create a lot of disturbance for this person. And so the practitioner will actually start engaging a lot of thinking about all these basic necessities. So an example that I can give is, let's say one day a practitioner suddenly decided to engage in secluded solitude practice, wanting to practice wholeheartedly for X amount of time. That's great. Yet there's still the issues of your meals, your three meals. If you want to be in secluded practice, who's going to deliver your meals to you? Where are you going to stay? And it doesn't have to be any place fancy, but at least the roof shouldn't be leaking. So the basic necessity has to all be in place for someone to have the ability to actually engage in focus meditation practice. So if you don't have enough merit from your past, accumulated from the past lives, and suddenly you decide to engage in this kind of very rigorous solitude practice, or very simply, there could be the issue of food. And you may sit in meditation, appearing to be that you're sitting in meditation, but in your mind, you're thinking about, where's my next meal going to be? How come no one's coming? Two or three meals has been skipped already. What's happening outside in the world? And my shoes, my robes are all tattered, and who's going to fix it? So you might become discombobulated with all these basic necessity problems. So there's no point in talking about really cultivating samadhi. You can't, because you lack the basic necessity. So all these basic resources need to be in place. And how do you make them in place? It's through years, many, many past lives of practice and cultivating of merit that enable someone in this lifetime to be able to engage in such type of practice.
所以佛陀在这部经里面有讲，他说， 修定是非常殊勝的，他能够断除我们的断惑，所以呢，他特别指示在佛陀时代，他只是僧团里面的一个执事法师，就是专门供给我们衣食住行的所有资源的执事法师，说只要有比丘要修定的时候，一定要把最好的东西。 把它具备，帮他们准备所有需要的东西，给他们修定，不要让他们在修定闭关的过程中起心动念。On
the flip side of that coin is that the Buddha actually had instructed the Sangha, well, during his lifetime, that saying that cultivating samadhi has the power to cut off all the illusions, that it's a kind of effect that other kind of practice cannot provide. So if there is someone in the Sangha who decide to engage in, to be committed to this kind of practice, vigorous samadhi practice, then you should, he instructed this to the person in charge in the Sangha, in charge of resources, distribution, whatnot. And he instructed this person that then you must do the best you can to provide this, these kind of people best resources to enable their practice.
所以居士，比如说有人要闭关，那您能够护持护关，或是support他们所需要的资源，也是非常有功德的，也非常是一种很好的一种结善缘的一种方式。
So by extension, these days, for us as lay people, if we see anyone who really sincerely wants to engage this kind of solitude practice, if we're able to provide, give some sort of support, it would actually be a very good practice for us as well for cultivating merit.
那第二条呢，是说，如果你想修定呢，我们也想修定的时候，可是我们犯戒，就是这边是讲，就是四个根本戒，杀盗淫妄，那也没办法的，这破。 犯戒这个事情，不仅是说在于这个罪相方面，它有一定的业报之外呢，它其实我们做犯任何的错误的时候呢，内心都会产生什么？产生波动。那这个波动一定会影响修定，就像我们平常凡夫好了，假设我们今天不管我们是对或是错， 我们今天只要跟人家吵架，一天的心都怎样，都是没有办法安定的，一定内心在讲说，都是他错啦，我没有错啦，然后呢，他为什么这样讲，我为什么这样讲，然后你自己内心就继续什么，继续吵架，你跟自己的心继续吵架，看你的功力看要吵几天嘛。所以这个就在我们修定来讲就是调举，做的任何一点犯戒的事情，其实你内心会产生很多的调举，这都跟修定是不相应的，那更何况是 破根本戒呢。所以讲到无意行千万不可以犯戒。
The second one is that although someone may wish to practice samadhi, but the breaking of precepts and engaging the various kinds of unwholesome deeds will obstruct the practice of samadhi. Here, it's mainly talking about the four major precepts of no killing, no stealing, no engaging in this sexual conduct, as well as no false speech. These are considered the four most fundamental of the precepts, and each one of them will lead to its natural karmic consequences. In addition to the karmic consequences, whenever these kind of precepts are violated, it will create disturbance in your mind and affect one's concentration and samadhi. It doesn't even have to be something as major as these four. Let's say if anyone, I believe you all have this kind of experience, that if you argue with someone one day, for the entire day, it will be very difficult for you to really settle your mind. Oftentimes, people continue the argument in their own head, having this internal dialogue with themselves that he's the one that was wrong, I was right. And this kind of back and forth dialogue can continue for days, depending on your achievement, so to speak, how deluded you are. So this is considered a kind of distraction, that whatever kind of violation that you have engaged in, it will have a rippling effect in your mind, causing disturbance of your concentration and your samadhi. So it could be as minor as argument, and minor things as arguments will already create this kind of rippling effect. Needless to say, if you engage in the major kind of precept violation, it will cause even greater disturbance to your practice.
那第三条呢，是说，假设要修定，可是有颠倒见，妄执吉凶，身心刚强。那这个我们中国人就比较容易，这个妄执吉凶，因为我们懂一点风水嘛，然后还有什么，我们还有黄历，对吧？我们去年讨论说什么时候 grand opening， 就赶快把黄历拿出来说，这天不可以开光，那这天不可以动土，有没有？那还有什么风水一定要坐南，不是坐北朝南，然后呢，这个什么，其实我们常常会这样，照顾身体是应该的啦，哇，这个寒气很重。这个热，身体忍热，然后吃什么会怎样，吃寒的会怎么样，然后每天人家送来的食物说，哎呦，怎么大白菜这么寒，这个不行，这个太燥热了，然后人家好不容易来护官送一点菜来，然后你的起心动念说这个不合我的体质，那你修定也不要了嘛，然后你的官房还得坐南朝北，旁边不可以有什么大树，还有哇，这样一弄起来还要修定吗？
And the third one is that even if you want to engage in samadhi practice, but if you are harboring, holding diluted views,or being superstitious about what is auspicious, what is inauspicious, different kind of phenomenon, or if you are very stubborn and unyielding, and all these will also contribute to obstructing your practice. And this is a kind of folly that oftentimes it's often engaged by Chinese practitioners. After all, we know a little bit about the so-called feng shui, And or we even have our own lunar calendar that gives you instruction about which day is better for, say, getting married, for starting to build a house, for having a ceremony. I remember when we were looking at a date for grand opening for CMC expansion project, we actually digged out immediately a calendar, a lunar calendar, to try to find a date that is especially good for this kind of ceremony. Or sometimes with the food we eat, of course, it makes sense that you want to take care of your body, but sometimes we think too much. Oh, this food is too cold, and that food has too much heat. And if someone makes some sort of offering, bring some napa cabbage, and you look at the cabbage, say, oh, it's too cold, it's not good for my body, or that has too much heat. And you know, so if this is the kind of mentality, mental activities that you are prone to engage in, then how can you really settle your mind and enter samadhi? Even if you're in a secluded practice, solitary practice, someone may bring you a meal and all you think about is, oh, the food doesn't go according to my body and my little abode should be following this direction, that direction, and there should not be a tree next to it. I'll engage in all these kind of miscellaneous, superstitious thinking. These will affect our practice of samadhi.
那如果是高阶的修行者，面对的挑战更惨。更大哈，比如说你打坐之后，一尊佛在你前面视线，那你怎么办？想说是不是快开悟了哈？然后呢，一下子忽然之间打到后来天色变暗哈，狂风大起，天打雷劈这样，然后想说糟糕，是不是要发生什么事情了哈？然后所有的瑞相意象，然后你都会起心动念想说这是不是有什么好意涵，哇，那这也没办法修定。那禅宗就是讲佛来佛斩，魔来魔斩，不要执着这个产生的这种吉凶，好像看起来有吉凶的这种现象。
So for those practitioners who are at the higher level, more advanced level, they face even bigger challenges. Sometimes even when you're deep in meditation and suddenly in front of you a Buddha statue manifested, then your mind starts to waver and thinking, oh, does that mean that I'm almost there? I'm almost approaching enlightenment? Or sometimes when you're sitting deep in meditation, the outside is starting to thunder and the wind is howling, then again, the mind is disturbed, thinking that, what does this mean, and what can I read into these phenomena? So again, all these phenomenal things can create disturbance to the mind. And that is why in Chan school, there's a very well-known saying that when the Buddha approaches, kill the Buddha. When the demon approaches, kill the demon. This is to say that no matter what kind of phenomenon manifest, discard them and just continue to settle your mind.
第四条，心不能调动，不能浮躁。他说如果修定的人是这样的话，那你也没办法成功的。那心调动是什么？好，那我就发现我也有这个，因为师父在的时候每天看新闻嘛，那我们也要每天看新闻，因为我们不能怎样脱离世间，不能不知道世间的疾苦，所以我们要看新闻。但我们看新闻跟师父看新闻不太一样。师父看新闻是顺贤圣，就是说他看的是看到众生的苦，然后又有什么他可以帮忙的地方他。那我们呢是很心是调动的。一下昨天我还跟法师们讲说，哇，这怎么这个中美贸易战，哇，这下惨了哈。然后一下，哎，我们的总统哈 ，Trump 跟这个习近平哈降了，然后一下 Trump 又跟那个北韩那位negotiate 没有成功，结果呢，北韩的 officer 就被 execute 就被处决嘞哈。哦，就觉得哎呦，怎么可以这样啊？你没有谈判成功，没有成功就被处决，哦，好残忍哦。然后你的心就这样， 我就发现我都看新闻哦，心都在调动哈，就猪跟青枣，就然后社会上这么多新闻，然后看着自己的心都非常的浮动，哎，这没办法哈，不能顺先生。
The fourth one is when we want to practice samadhi. But if the mind is very unsettled and unfocused, not able to follow the teaching of saints and sages, and the six sensory organs are easily distracted, then this will also become an obstruction in one's practice. I have to admit, I have the same problem. When Shifu was alive, he told us that we have to follow the news every day. Shifu watches the news, so us, the disciples, we also watch the news because, after all, you cannot become detached from what's going on in society. We are of the world. The thing is, though, when Shifu watches news, his mind is in accordance to the teaching of saints and sagely, in the sense that he watches it, observe the phenomenon, and see in which areas he's able to provide maybe some relief or support to the people who are suffering. Comparing to what Shifu's watching, when I watch his news or read the news, my mind becomes, it fluctuates greatly. Just yesterday, I was reading about the trade negotiations between China and the U.S. and the U.S. and the North Korea. And seeing all these back and forth negotiation, and I read this one part where the North Korean negotiator, the official who's been entrusted to negotiating with Trump, he failed, and so he was executed. And I was shocked reading that because this is such a severe punishment for a failed negotiation. So in this process of acquainting myself with world news, my mind was very flustered. It went back and forth and not able to go according to the teachings of saints and sages and become greatly distracted.
对，那我晚上打坐的时候，我就在反省，我就在用想象的想说，那师父看到这些新闻，他的心是怎么回应的哈？那我的是绝对我的就是起烦恼心嘛，至少我有我的一个看法，然后我自己也跟着烦恼，想说哎呦怎么这样啊，这个社会怎么这个样子啊。那但是如果我们看到这种社会的乱象的时候，要怎么样才是顺贤圣，然后自己的心是不被调动，然后你又可以散播你的慈悲跟智慧之心，那就又在调动，又在思考，那修定是没有的了，就是坐在那边想说那我要怎么样跟师父一样，还是在调动。
So yesterday in the evening when I sat in meditation, I reflected about this mental activity that I just went through, and I was wondering, contemplating, so how did his mind work? How did his mind respond to the things that he watches or read in the news? How is it that his mind is able to continue to go according to sage and saints' teaching? Whereas me, when I watch the news, I become greatly vexed, and my mind would be disturbed, thinking, what has our world come to? What had happened? My mind is so disturbed that I wasn't even able to follow the teaching of saints or sages. And so yesterday in meditation, I wasn't able to engage in any samadhi practice. I continue with my thinking of how to respond and how to arouse my compassion to help people. But again, these are still a lot of mental activity. It's not samadhi.
好，接下来三个哈，就是我们常常听的哈，想要修定呢，就不可以两舌、恶口跟妄欲哈。就是说，平常假设我们哈两舌，意思是什么？就是你跟他讲的时候呢，就说这个人不好，你顺着这个人说这个人不好，那你在跟这个人的时候，又顺着这个人说他不好哈。你有的人是说他本来只是说。哎、他 他不想跟这个人 argue， 你就顺着他。可是你顺着他讲他不好，顺着这个人讲不好，你就在两舌。那到时候这两个人一吵起来的时候，发现你两边，哇，你就倒大霉了，然后就会彼此扰乱嘛，哈，所以那你也没有办法得清净的，那恶口一样啊。你今天看到别人做什么事情，即便是轻轻的跟人家说你这样不对啊，或是大大的骂人说你这样不对啊，然后妄语杂，这边的妄语是简杂碎语，就是说 这是像有一些妈妈的，就是看到这个也念，看到那个也念啊，那有时候又是你比较傲慢心的时候，我告诉你啊，我多厉害啊，反正这种口业的东西 一不清净，就是脑子里面相应的东西就是乱七八糟的，那这个对修定来讲都是有妨碍的。
The fifth, sixth, and seventh has to do with our speech. Not engage in divisive speech or foul speech, the slanders or false speech or miscellaneous speech. And so with the fifth one, divisive speech, it's basically talking about, well, when you're having a conversation with person A and the person A is complaining about person B,you go along with person A to say, yeah, 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 I agree with you. Person B is bad in XYZ kind of ways. And then when you turn around and talk to person B, the person B complaining about person A, you also go along agreeing with all the complaints. So perhaps for some people, the initial intention was, oh, I don't want to argue with person A, nor do I want to argue with person B. So I sort of go along with what they're saying.But remember, your going along doesn't really result in more peace and harmony. And maybe eventually when person A and B come together, they find out that you're the one who has been talking badly about both of them behind their back. That's going to create even more disturbance. And so when you engage in this kind of verbal activities, it's not going to lead to any purification of the mind. Similarly, slandering of saints and sages. And the seventh is not be engaged in foul speech that is the sixth one is about slandering or slander someone or scolding someone. Whether you do it gently, oh, don't do this, or you do it loudly, don't do this, both will create disturbance of the mind.And the seventh has to do with miscellaneous or false speech, including nagging. Some mothers, parents tend to do that. They see this and that, and they start nagging nonstop. Or bragging. All these kind of verbal activities, speech, would cause the mind to go up and down and create a lot of disturbance and become obstacles in samadhi practice.
那接下来最后三个哈，就大家很清楚哈，贪嗔痴。好，那只要我们内心有很强烈的贪嗔痴，那任何一个境界一现前的时候，包括我们往生的时候，很强烈的贪嗔痴会跟这个境界相应之后呢，我们的内心一样是不能平静的。那这边当然有讲，就是你比如说你为你贪，你对他人所得的利益养心不欢喜，比如人家你修定，人家供养你，你觉得说啊，怎么那么小气啊，这饭这个我两口就吃完了，然后说哎啊，怎么没有主食啊，在就是你会你贪还有嫉妒，就是别人给你的利益养。那包括有时候我们法师有没有哎，这个菩萨我这个是名牌的呢，啊，这个是路边货哈，还有没有计较比较嘛？就说哎呀，同样是供养，为什么啊？你比较懂得，你就哎，你就心里不高兴嘛，想说哎啊，这个人明明哈，他应该是不错，为什么买地摊货来嘛哈？啊，这个人比较好啊，就是假设就是说我们对这种利养哈，人家供养来的东西哈，然后你还在那边计较比较，然后起贪嗔痴哈，哇那。 修定 也不要谈了哈。那贪嗔痴就是我们的根本烦恼哈，这根本烦恼不能降服哈，修定也是没有办法的哈。
And the last three is something that we're all quite familiar with is greed, anger, and delusion. So when your mind, your action correspond with any of these, then it's going to cause a lot of disturbance in the mind. More specifically, over here, the example has been given, say, for greed, being greedy and jealous, unhappy about the offering that one receives or other people have received. And this happens sometimes, or even with monastics, sometimes when we receive offerings, it's sometimes we make differentiations of the type of things that one receives. Oh, maybe this person offers name brand and that person offers something that's bought on the street, a dollar store, whatnot. And for if you are someone who already kind of you can tell about the quality of things, then it's possible that you start differentiating between the two and wondering and having a lot of vexations about this, the person who's giving the people that are giving the offering, the difference between them. So when you have all these kind of mental activities, it's really hard to really settle and calm the mind. And similarly, with anger and deluded thinking, it will also cause disturbance of the mind.
好，以上哈，假设有学佛比较久的人，你就可以知道说，其实呢，这个障欲界善根里面哈，就说不能做十恶，要做十善，有没有？修定者一定。不能做十恶，前面讲即使就是十恶，再加一个就是你要有资源 support 你修定，好，所以十无一行法的第一类就是说不可以做十恶，然后你必须要有资源可以 support 你修定，好。
And so looking back to these 10 undependable actions that we just talked about, if you are someone who's quite familiar, was more seasoned with Buddha Dharma, then you can make the link. It's actually referring to the 10 unwholesome deeds that we should refrain from doing, with the addition of the need for resources, having enough merit so that you have a resource to cultivate. So it's tied together with the notion of thou should refrain from doing the 10 unwholesome deeds, and on the other hand, to engage in the 10 wholesome deeds.
那第二类呢，是如果我们有这十种哈、哦，这个乐着的话呢，那会障碍我们的这个定禅定三摩地的修持。好、哦，第一类前四个哈、哦，就是说我们好、哦、很喜欢怎样谈论事业。好，比如说就有人会来跟我们法师讲说，哎呀，我们哈、哦、寺院里面哈、哦，这个要接引人嘛，哈、哦，那你看人家有那个什么什么哈，我们不要讲什么什么房哈、哦，那卖饼干啊，哦卖啊卖一点包子啊，哈、哦，这样我们寺院可以有一点收入嘛，哈、哦。哎，我那不然就是来一个什么灵骨塔呗，哈，然后什么啊，就为了要收入这样，一天到晚就想这想那，哈，哇，这个三摩地就别了哈。那谈论哈，就像比如刚刚我讲说哈，这个中美贸易对不对？然后大家都在讲说，我告诉你，因为哈，其实我不懂啊，经济因为怎样，中国的因为怎样，美国因为怎样，所以怎样怎样又怎样，然后哇。他谈起来半天了哈，没完没了，没有结论，就爱谈论，大家来 debate 这样子哈。那睡眠就不要讲了，一天到晚睡觉，不要修定了哈。那赢球是什么？好，我举个比例啊，举人家捐款对不对哈？然后就捐股票进来了哈。然后居士就说，法师，这个股票还在涨，你千万不要卖，好。然后你要等它再继续涨到多少钱才可以卖？那意思是说，我们法师每天还要去看那个然后看它涨到什么时候再去卖嘛。那我们国师法师说，不管你捐来，我就把它卖掉，管你涨不涨，你就是一种赢球嘛，想说哇要多赚一点哈，就不管卖掉，就卖掉。两个月后，那个菩萨很紧张的跑来说，糟糕了，跌了。那我们说。早就卖掉了啊！就说啊、哦， 一看，哎呦，法师你真厉害！你在最高点的时候卖掉啊，对我们来讲，我们根本不知道什么最高点、最低点，反正你进来我就把你卖掉了哈、哦，就这样啊、哦，不要赢球啊。
So the ten that we just talked about become obstruction when you try to cultivate good roots in the desire realm. And now we're going to turn to the next ten. It has to do, if you engage in these ten types of undependable action, then it's going to obstruct your samadhi, practice samadhi. So that's the second category. And so the first four are attachment to different kind of desires and pleasures. The first one,is attachment to the ideas of careers or building a business. So oftentimes with good intentions, some volunteers will come to us to say, we need to raise funds for the temple. So maybe we can sell some buns, sell some cookies, or maybe we can sell places for people to put their urns when people are cremated. So thinking about devising all these different kind of strategies to raise funds for the temple,well, it's good intention, but this type of attachment to wanting to profit would actually create disturbance to our practice of samadhi. And the second one is the attachment to having discussions and conversations. Just take the example that I gave earlier, the trade war between the U.S. and China. And so some people are very...engage in this type of thinking, and they like to have debates and discussions. So they'll start talking about, oh, let me tell you, the economy in China is so and so, such and such, and so that it's leading to such and such phenomena. This type of talk, again, can become a disturbance to samadhi. And the third one is attachment to sleep and the significance. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. If you like to sleep, then it's hard to practice. The fourth one,is the attachment to keep seeking and wanting, again, to profit. So an example that I can give you is that once someone made a donation to us in the form of stocks, and this person with good intention says that, oh, this stocks is still on the rise. It looks like it's still generating more. So, 法师, don't sell it right away. You need to keep track of it so that you can sell it at the highest point.So what does this mean? Is this suggesting that us 法师, instead of engaging our practice, we should stop following all the stock indexes and to keep track of stock price? So instead, 果胜法师, 果胜法师, made the decision that...
Our treasure, 果胜法师,
decided that no matter, I'm not going to engage in that kind of...tracking or whatnot. You donated today, I'm going to sell it right away.And so she sold the stock right away upon receiving it. And what turned out was that 2 months later, the person who made the initial donation, you know, rushed to us and say, the stock is going down, so you have to sell it right away. And our answer to this person was, it was sold 2 months ago. And this person said, wow, then you sold it at a peak. It's really auspicious.That wasn't the intention. It was just dealing with it the simplest way possible so that we can continue to engage in our practice of samadhi.
那在这边哈，不是说我们不经营寺院，我们不谈论，我们也不睡觉，哈，那我们也不哈赢球，而是啊，在我们做这些事情的时候。那个心是用什么心？好，等一下就要讲了哈，而不是说，如果我们是用世俗的心来做这件四件事情啊，那葬身抹地。那要怎么样呢？等一下我们就知道哈。
It's very important to clarify though. It doesn't mean not to be attached to any of these. Doesn't mean that we don't engage in any of these activities.It doesn't mean that we are not going to take care of the temple, we're not going to sleep, we're not going to talk, we're not going to try to keep up with the finances. That doesn't mean that. It means that it's very important to be very mindful of the kind of mindset that you use when you're engaged in these kind of activities. So when you use the right kind of mentality, then it's a practice toward Buddhahood. on the other hand, if you use the more vernacular, ordinary kind of mindset, then it's counterproductive to one's practice. And exactly to what kind of mindset that we should have, we're going to come to that part.
那接下来的六个哈，就是不要被六根所绑架了哈。就六根接触六尘哈，色声香味触法嘛哈，眼耳鼻舌身意接触了色声香味触法的时候呢，你不要乐着。好，比如说，又你喜欢看什么，然后你喜欢听什么。那哇，这个茶哦，咖啡是什么又什么哈、哦？然后这个味道，然后就是对于这个六根的执着，一定不可以有执着，六根不可以执着六尘。如果是的话，任何一个很维系的这种变化，都会让你起心动念哈。哦
The next six of the ten, the second set of ten, is not to be trapped or, not to be trapped by our six sensory organs. So the six sensory organs, the eye, ears, nose, tongue, body, and mind, come in contact with the six sensory objects, which are sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, and thought. So when they come in contact with each other, the sensory organs should not become attached to the sensory objects. For instance, beautiful forms or pleasant sounds, nice fragrant scents, delicious taste, or pleasant sensations, or engaging kind of reasoning or thinking. The six sensory organs should not become attached to the six sensory objects. Otherwise, it also becomes an obstacle for the practice of samadhi.
好，那因为我们时间的关系哈，回归到原来的问题哈，大半天最问的最重要的根本，以何净其心？好，那经文里面讲哈，是什么？斯罗就是持戒。好，那这在各个经典里面都是讲，我们想要灭除一切烦恼，要持戒。
We're almost running out of time, so let's go back to the most fundamental question, the important question, what can be done to purify our mind? So when we engage in all these activities, it will actually be facilitative. So going back to what has been said in the sutra, in the Abhidhamma Sutra, it's the root, the bottom line is to uphold precepts, sila, which is precept.Once you uphold the precept, then you are going in accordance to the practice.
然后呢，持戒必须要有信。我在读这个章节的时候，其实 我自己也起心动念，就下一次要分享的，里面佛陀讲的一些东西，都挑战我自己对于佛陀讲的东西的信心，包括对于破戒，就是对于做坏事的人，还有甚至对于破戒的比丘，我们应该怎么样的来面对跟处理？在这个整个研读的过程中，我非常感受到信是持戒的基础，是信。好，没有信的话，很难持戒清净。好，所以这个是在这个就是学界的根本，就是在清净的信心，然后你发愿要去修学，才能够持戒清净的。
So, the bottom line of how do we uphold the precept? To be able to uphold pure precept, the root of it comes down to having pure faith.When I was studying this sutra and engaging in these kind of thinking with all these quotes, a lot of my preconceptions was greatly challenged, and a lot of questions come to mind, such as, well, how do we deal with people who violate the precept, especially in the Sangha? And it brings me to this quote, this part where faith, a pure faith, is what gives one entry to the Buddha Dharma. It's the root. And so in order to uphold the precepts in the very pure sense, first you need to have the faith. And then it will trigger ones to give rise to the vows to uphold the precept.
这句话哈，带回家参哈，真正持戒的精神在这句话上面哈。无我所远离诸细论，一切无所得，是名上师罗。也就是说，最上等的持戒是没有我跟我所，没有能所，远离所有的细论，然后什么？一切无所得。如果能够 follow 这个来持戒、修定、习诵、培福，就是去向涅槃之道。如果是 the opposite 的话呢，就是生死业。一切这个章节持戒的重点就在这句话上面。
So, with this quote, I offer to you to take it home to investigate, because this is actually the core of how we should engage in our practice of upholding the precepts and samadhi. The quote is, we need to uphold the precept in a way that we don't have the dualistic mindset of subject and object, and also to depart from all teachings that do not lead us to liberation. And there's nothing to be obtained. And if you uphold the precept with this kind of mindset, then this is called the most supreme of sila, which is the precept. So again, it's important to uphold the precept without the dualistic mind of subject and object, depart from all teachings that does not lead to liberation, and remember there's nothing to be obtained. And so with this kind of mindset, whether you engage in the practice of samadhi, with recitation, with cultivating or merit charitable work, or kingly chakras of governing the nation, regardless of the practice that you engage in, with this kind of mindset, that you will be following the precepts in the purest form, and it will also be considered a dependable action.
好，那下一次我们再继续讲下半。
So next time we're going to talk about the second half, chapter 4. Next time?
3.
Second half of chapter 3, and continue with our discussion today.